Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 63 countries, such as the U.S., Canada, Brazil, Australia, Italy, France, Germany. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Tuesday through Friday, but check out our episodes at noon because I'm putting in all kinds of new episodes right around noon Eastern time. So make sure to check those out and be on the lookout for those. You can join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. And I ask that you subscribe, rate, and review the show wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. Life Transformation Radio is available on Blog Talk Radio Network. And also iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, and the Google Play Music apps. I ask that you subscribe, rate, and review the show so that we know how we're doing. On the show are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters, and authors who have amazing stories and are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does just that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that I bring on the show during our live broadcast, you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number 657-383-1109. So I'd like to right now please welcome my guest, Miha Matlievsky, to the show.
Hey.
What's going on, my friend?
Sean. Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing amazing. It's Friday. Getting ready to put some Christmas decorations up, getting ready for Thanksgiving next week. So it's good. Yeah.
And it's still morning for you, isn't it?
It's 5:30 p.m. Eastern time right now. Where are you at?
P.m. I'm in Europe, so for me it's almost midnight.
Oh my gosh. Man, I should have known with the time difference.
Well,
I won't hold you too long
then.
Then
I'm plus 6 hours.
Wow. Where in Europe are you at right now?
For the past year or so, I'm located in the country of Serbia. But I actually come from Slovenia, which is an even smaller country. And
wow.
The only way that people recognize it from U.S. is that your first lady, Melania, she's a Slovenian girl. And if you're a huge fan of basketball, then we have two really good NBA basketball players, Goran Dragic. I don't know what club he's playing at. And then with Dallas Mavericks is now Luka Doncic.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. So, man, I just want to welcome you, and I didn't realize it was so late, so my apologies for that. But,
perfectly okay.
Yeah, let's get to it. So the title of this episode is Failure, the Ticket to Success with Miha Matlievsky. Miha believes failure can be your ticket to success. His incredible journey from contemplating suicide after going $5 million in debt overnight to growing his next business to 8 figures in less than 12 months. His mission is to help break the taboo of failure by exposing it in a healthy way and using the lessons learned to prepare for an epic comeback. It's time to fail forward. Right there is the Facebook for him. facebook.com/Matlievski.miha. So go click that and then go to his website, www.fail.coach. And you can learn everything you want to know and get a hold of his programs, products, and services right there at www.fail.coach. So the first question I have to ask, man, what is your why? Why is that your mission to break the taboo of failure? Why do you do what you do?
Very simply. So I came minute away from committing suicide. Fortunately, I had the aha moment there, and that saved me from actually doing it. But I was one of the fortunate ones. The more I talk with entrepreneurs and their families, the more stories of suicide I hear. And also failure or fear of failure is the number one killer of dreams especially for entrepreneurs. I mean, entrepreneurs as a group of people, if we want to achieve those crazy dreams, we have to push ourselves beyond our comfort zone more than, you know, 9-to-5ers. I mean, I'm not saying that entrepreneurs are the only group. You have the athletes and so on. But obviously, I never was an athlete, so it's hard for me to understand what goes in their head and their minds. But entrepreneur, I was for the past 22 years, and I know exactly what's going on when you're going up, when you're going down. And I just want to, you know, prevent something like that to happen to as many people as possible.
Amazing. Well, how did you get $5 million in debt? Was it business debt?
No, that was my personal debt.
Wow.
Yeah, I dropped out of high school when I was 18, and I started working for my father's company. I had that perfect childhood, which turned out to be not so perfect because it didn't prepare me for the real life. And then when I was 23, my father suddenly died from cancer, pancreatic cancer. So it was just weeks from being super healthy to pass away. And I had to take over the family business. I had no clue what I'm doing. Back then there were no coaches, no mentors. There was no Facebook and Facebook groups and all of that. That was in 2003. And so I embarked on this journey. And at first I was doing really good. I started creating new companies. Altogether in my life so far, I've created 9 companies, and now Fail Coach is my 10th company. And, before I was 30, I reached a point where my personal net worth was around 15 million US. And that was, you know, real estate, money in bank, investments, and so on, shares in my company, all that together was roughly around 15 million US.
Because 15, 1-5?
1-5, yes, 15.
1-5, 15, okay.
Yeah, and because of series of stupid mistakes that at that point I didn't realize that I was making them, I ended up losing all those 15 million and end up 5 million additionally in personal debt without the possibility of doing personal bankruptcy. And that was one of my companies was in real estate, and all my other companies were tied together. And so when that one went down, everything went down, and it was basically just one call, one Monday morning, December 7th, 2009, I got the call from the bank, and next day I was bankrupt, completely bankrupt, and 5 million in personal debt. And then I went through, you know, depression, anxiety, blaming everything and everybody else. All of that, and few months later, because my mind was basically like a nuclear reactor. You know, every morning when I woke up to phone calls from all different companies and people who I owed money to, because the bank defaulted me. I overnight didn't pay out paychecks. I didn't pay out taxes to the government because, you know, everything was lost overnight. They didn't give me any time to prepare and rather pay all that and just owe to one bank. No, I actually, the bank got paid, but I owe to everybody else. And in Slovenia, if you owe money to the government for taxes, and if you don't, if you're unable to pay paychecks, you can't do personal bankruptcy. So I didn't have that option. So I actually had to repay the whole thing. And of course, I wasn't able to repay it back then. So yeah, I went into depression, anxiety, all that. And because of all that was happening to me, I craved that silence, that peace of mind. And the only way that was for me then visible how I can achieve that was suicide. And that idea of suicide was creeping more and more and more into my subconscious and conscious and was drawing me so close to finally do it. And one night I was on my balcony, fifth floor, and I just started climbing on the other side and looking down. And when I did that, I said it out loud. I said it, "You failed. Miha, you failed." And when I heard myself, that was the first time I ever said that, because remember, perfect childhood, everybody was always telling me how great I am, how perfect I am, you know, like, so everything good that happened to me, it was my fault. Everything bad that happened to me, since I'm so perfect, it can't be my fault. It's everybody else's fault. The government, the economy, mm-hmm. my business partners, employees, everybody else. And when I said that out loud, "You failed," when I heard myself say the word "you," that was the aha moment. In that moment, I realized that it was my decisions, my mistakes, me, just me, nobody else, that I have to blame. But that was so liberating, because next thought was, so if that was my mistake, if I now go and learn from my past mistakes, I can change it and I can do it not just same again, I can do it so much better and more sustainable. And yeah, nothing happens overnight. So I stayed up all night. I created this huge list of to-dos and things I need to change and learn and all of that. But the first thing I did in the morning, I started calling everybody before they called me. And I just told everybody, like, if you want me dead and that will repay the debt, just come here, do it. I don't care. I honestly don't care. But if you want your money back, it won't be enough for me to get a job. I need to create something huge to repay the debt. So you either stop calling me and I'll call you once a month and give you an update, or you keep calling me and you'll never see your money back. That was the first thing I did. And then I went on this huge journey. It took me about three and a half years of personal development, business development, learning, growing, you know, like the soft skills, the hard skills, being mindful, meditating, getting rid of stress, all of that. And then the hard skills, you know, financial management, scaling, growing, leadership.
Right.
And then in 2014, I created a startup, energy efficiency startup. We were helping big corporations save a whole lot of money on how much electricity and gas they used. And these were like huge, huge, huge companies spending hundreds of millions per year in energy costs. And I scaled that company from zero to $48 million in monthly revenue in 10 months.
Say that again. How much revenue?
From zero to $48 million a month.
Oh, my God. No, I'm doing something wrong. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I've been at this, you know, more than 12 months, you know, and I'm not doing that. Then again, I'm not running the same business as you, you know, yeah. So.
And you probably
did you create a whole new business?
In mind. Yes, a completely new business, something completely new to me. Energy efficiency. I mean, I honestly, like, even now when I do have a cleaning lady that comes once a week to clean the house, I don't even change the light bulbs when they go off because I'm always afraid that the electricity will get me. So I just leave the post-it notes, you know, like change these light bulbs. And I was selling this huge thing. But I basically just created the business model. And then I had an amazing team of people who were huge experts. And we were doing BI and AI and big data and all of that and incorporating that into energy efficiency, which was completely revolutionary at that time. And then later on, that company was taken over by a technological takeover from a Fortune 100 company. I can't say much more than that because, you know, NDAs and all of that.
Yep.
It was not a friendly takeover. But I exited it successfully. I walked away. I repaid almost $7 million because, you know, interest and lawsuits and all of that. So it accumulated to that. I was left with a little bit of money, enough, but I had my worries taken away and I was able to breathe fully again. And then I first went on a mini holiday, and after 3 months, I was bored to death. And I started thinking, like, what should I do? What can I do? And
just like an entrepreneur.
You can go to the local pub and hang out with people and just have beers all the time. But that kind of didn't seem too appealing. And you know what? I went to the first startup incubator and I said, can I please volunteer? Can I please mentor startups? And I just needed to be around fellow entrepreneurs. And so I started helping startups. I started helping people who are just starting companies. I'm helping entrepreneurs who are already at 7-8 figures, how to grow, scale, how to take themselves out of the in the company and focus on the business and have that freedom. Because freedom of money, that's the easiest one to achieve. Freedom of time is much, much, much more difficult. And because, you know, you need to learn how to let go. You need to learn how to implement processes and all those things so that the company is growing or scaling and it doesn't need for you to be involved like 100 hours or, you know, Gary Vee style, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, hustle, grind, which I honestly, I hate that philosophy. And it's easy to say hustle, grind when you have a few hundred people working for you and you're just flying around and doing a few conferences here and there. I don't like that concept. I believe strongly that freedom of time and money is possible, but I see that most entrepreneurs, they can see the freedom of money. When they start, they wish for the freedom of time. But then once they are at 6, 7, 8 figures, that idea of freedom of time just kind of vanishes away. And it's all very much connected with failures and fear of failures. If I let go, if I let somebody else run this, or, you know, a lot of times entrepreneurs handle the biggest processes in the company, like sales, you know, the money-making processes. And then it's so hard to find the right person. When it's not finding the right person at all, you need to create that function into processes that can be applied to multiple people. Only then something is scalable, because if it depends on a certain person, that's not scalable.
Huh. Give me something to think about.
Well, you know, just like, look at it. You are the host of your show. Everybody knows your voice. And, you know, if you want to scale doing it by yourself, I mean, yes, you can scale other parts of your company, but you can't scale this interview. But okay, you do, I don't know how many a month, and probably that's something that you even like love and enjoy doing, and that's a different thing. But you can't really take yourself fully out of it. Maybe what you can slowly, at one point, start introducing a co-host and, you know, things like that, and then creating something in the back so that one day, like, for example, you have quite a few very successful coaches who started coaching coaches to do it under their own license so they can bear just the brand and other people do everything.
Right. Yeah, kind of like John Maxwell. He certifies his coaches and speakers to be John Maxwell certified speakers and coaches. And then they go to different companies and they train on his material and sell his material, his books and videos and everything to that company and then train them on that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you're looking at
scaling, it's the same thing.
Yeah. When you're looking at scaling, the best possible company to look at is McDonald's. Just go to any McDonald's, fire the whole team, go roaming the streets, find new people, take them in that restaurant, 2 hours training, and bam, you have same Big Macs or whatever as the team before them did. Anywhere in the world, same taste of Big Mac, same taste of this, same taste of that. And that's how you truly create something that's scalable. And by scalable, it doesn't mean that you need to then exit the company. Scalability just gives you the freedom to decide whether what you want to do, how you want to do it, and you're free to onboard other people for things you don't want to do and enjoy the time the way you want it. Because, you know, two things that every single entrepreneur will tell you when you ask them why you want to be an entrepreneur is, number one, freedom. And number two, impact. And it doesn't go impact and then freedom. No, it's always first is the money freedom, and then you need to do the transformation to create additional time freedom. And only when you are free, then you can start making an impact.
Huh. You make a lot of sense.
You need to first be taken care of, because you can't give something that you don't have.
So you're saying so the impact comes once you have the freedom to do so.
Yeah. When you truly have the freedom to do, like, you know how productivity coaches like to ask you, Sean, if you would have all the money and all the time in the world, what would you do? Or, you know, the mindset coaches where they try to figure what's your why, what you're passionate about. And they usually ask you that. And that's what you start doing once you have that. Because, you know, you first get a little bit bored, and then naturally you can do whatever you want to do. So you go do what really is your hobby.
Huh. My mind is blown right now, Miha. My mind is blown. Like, the way that you put that, I'm like, jeez, that makes so much sense. Now I'm trying to figure out, like, well, what am I doing that I could change? Because I'm always asking myself the same three questions. What am I willing to do more of? What am I willing to do differently? And how am I going to connect? How will I connect with the people around me? You know, and if I can answer those three questions on a daily basis, then I'm always at the top of my game. You know, because if somebody just keeps doing the same thing over and over again, you know, I mean, that's why I always want to keep doing different things, you know.
And
find new programs, find new ways of doing stuff, you know, that's just.
That's growth hacking. You know, marketers usually use that. Digital marketers usually say growth hacking, but basically growth hacking is a technique where you try a lot of different approaches to achieve a certain goal, because every goal can be achieved in many ways. You can look at it like you want to go from, you know, New York to San Francisco. You can go by plane, by train, by bus, by hitchhiking. You can walk, you can cycle. I mean, there are a plethora of ways how you can get from point A to point B. Now, depending on your resources, whether you have like money for the plane ticket, or you will go hitchhike because you don't have that money, or what you wish to do, maybe you want to, you know, drive by car and enjoy the ride and stop at every diner and you know, try every burger on the way, or whatever your, you know, floats your boat.
You're reading my mind.
Yeah, but you know, like that's how every goal in life can be achieved in multiple ways. That's why I hate so much when, you know, people try to tell you that there's only one way to, you know, get thinner, or one way to do this, or one way to run a business. No, there are multiple ways, and you need to choose the one that feels more right for you. But to get there, like, how do you know what kind of food do you like? you first have to try it. Am I right?
Right.
How would you otherwise know whether you like broccoli or not? You have to try it. And maybe not just one dish, but you have to try it in a few different ways. Because that steamed broccoli, I don't know how many people like that. But, you know, you can make amazing things from broccoli. And then suddenly you say, oh, my God, I'm crazy about it. And so you try a few things, but, you know, you need to try them in a smart way. You need to apply some metrics. You need to benchmark it against other things that you try. And Google is your resource here. I mean, there's statistics for basically whatever you want to do. So something that to what you can benchmark the results of the activities that you're doing. And by trying multiple things, you know, you're getting closer and closer and closer to how you want to do things. And a lot of times I'm asked, like, you know, how do I find my why? How do I find my purpose? My belief is that you need to go out there, do a lot of things and try them, doing things that you really love doing, and your why and your purpose will find you. I wasn't looking for my purpose. My purpose found me when I was completely relaxed. I was worry-free. I had the freedom of time, the freedom of money. And you know, suddenly I realized I love talking to entrepreneurs. I love helping entrepreneurs. And that's how my purpose found me. And I see it often that mostly the purpose finds people, not the other way around.
Very cool. So what would you say to somebody who's either starting over, like you had to start over? What would you say to somebody who's either starting over or they have a fear of failure, or they're like, I don't know if it's going to work out. Like, I'm kind of sketched out a little bit. Like, I don't know if this podcast is going to work out. I don't know if this business is even viable. There's no proof of concept. You know, like, what would you say to them?
You know, like, the first thing is, failure is something that will be present always. Every time you do something where you push yourself out of your comfort zone, that means you're doing something new. Because what you already know, that's your comfort zone. So you're doing something new. When you do something new, there is 50-50 or even more chance that you will fail. And failure is nothing bad. It's our emotional reaction to when something doesn't work out the way we anticipated.
Right.
And so number one is, don't focus on the outcome. Focus on the process. Because, you know, the thing is, if you want to lose weight, that's a goal. But how do you do that? You eat healthier and you exercise a little bit. And now if you just focus on the process, which is eating healthier and exercising a little bit more, the result will be there. It will come. Now, depending on how hard you're pushing yourself and how hard you're doing the process, that's how fast the result will come. If you eat super healthy and you exercise a lot, the result will probably came much sooner. But if you have a lot of cheat days, well, it will come, but, you know, it will take time. And if you have too many cheat days, it won't happen because the process is not right. So the first thing is, you need to focus on the process, not on the outcome. It's easy to say it. It's not so easy to achieve that state of mind where you start thinking in the ways of processes and you basically just take yourself completely out of expectation. It's quite a process to achieve that state. And the second thing is, it's not the failures, it's our emotional reactions to failures. When we go for something that's really dear to our heart, we attach a lot of emotions. And when that thing doesn't happen, we are blasted with a lot of negative emotions. So what I help people is develop healthy emotional relationship with failure. Maybe it sounds very zen, but it's basically like just walking them through the past failures and making them realize how it was up to them. They made the decisions, or they made bad moves, or something like that. So stop blaming others. Take control of your own life, and then stop giving excuses to yourself. You know, The successful people in life, whether they're entrepreneurs or athletes, they don't make excuses. They do action. And so, you know, without action, there won't be any result. And so action on processes will create results. So it's balancing that emotional part with the logical part and logically showing them those results of their past actions, how they ended up with them being where they are. And once you overcome that, once you overcome that negative emotional relationship mm-hmm. with failure, that's when you can start moving forward. That's why I always say fail forward.
And it's a great John Maxwell book too, Failing Forward. Great, yeah. John Maxwell book. And I like how you said that the relationship with failure needs to change. I really like that because, you know, you might be afraid of failure, and I don't know if it's the failure that holds them back or the fear. Or sometimes I find that people are afraid of what others will think about them because they failed. Like, I told you so and all that stuff.
I see all of those. Like you know, somebody is right. more – it depends on who you are as a person. If you value other people's opinion a lot, of course, you will fear that. If you don't give much on what others think, you know, then that won't stop you. But then something else might. Maybe you have, like, super high expectations for yourself and, you know – then you're, if I don't do it on this try, then, you know, everything will crash and burn. And like, you know, just look at, like, things in the past, like maybe last year. Probably you had a lot of moments when it was like, oh, my God, if I don't succeed right now at that, everything will crash and burn. And then maybe you didn't. And at that point, it was hugely emotional. But when you look at it now, when the emotions faded away, it's like, okay, yeah, I survived that. You know, like I remember how many times when I was failing, I thought to myself, oh my God, will I even survive to tomorrow? Will I even be alive tomorrow? And you know what? I'm still here. And when I look now back on that, but the thing is now one technique that is very helpful is mindfulness, because mindfulness gives you the opportunity to step back from the current moment, and you have the time and the emotional detachment from the current moment that you can draw from past experiences. And then suddenly you say, oh, but this thing happened to me in the past already. And you know what? I feared a hugely huge outcome, and that didn't happen. So it won't happen now as well. So I can relax a little bit. It's not that hard. You know, like, I mean, what we are talking right now, maybe it's a bit disconnected because we are not applying it to a specific situation of somebody. You know, like when I'm working with clients and we have specific uh-huh. situations, and when we apply just the techniques that are for them, the whole thing makes much more sense. But now we are just throwing different examples around. So it might not, you know, make so much sense for your listeners to fully get that together and to be able to apply it to their own life. Because mm-hmm. When it comes to emotions, we think that it's only us that something is happening to, and that our situation is completely different from everybody else's. And that what we need to achieve or what we need to do to overcome, it must be something completely different. Because when emotions are involved, our vision gets very, very cloudy. And we think completely differently when, you know, something logical is in question. So giving all those examples probably doesn't make too much sense to a listener.
No, I'm sure they get it. You know, the one thing I keep thinking about is, like, I want to fail, though. Like, I want to fail early. I want to fail, like, later. Like, I want to fail early because it gives me kind of an idea of where I'm at, what failed, how I can fix it. I'm still early on so that I can recover. You know, I'm not sure that I can recover like you did, you know, in $5 million in debt. I've never been that far in debt, but, I mean, Some debt just crushes people. You know?
So I know.
I want to fail. Like, I want to fail early. I want to fail often because I want to know what's not working. Like, well, that didn't work. All right, next. Okay, well, that tactic or that strategy, whatever, oh, that didn't work. And then find one that does and go, ooh, found it. Because I don't want to get like a false sense of success. You know what I mean? Like you do something and you're like, ooh, I'm super successful.
Yeah.
But it's all like,
yeah.
It's not foundational, right? Like it's a false sense of security.
I was too cocky. I was too self-confident. I mean, I was, you know, like from young age, I was told how amazing I am. I'm almost sent from a god, you know? And you know, that gets burned into your brain, you know, like your whole family, everybody's telling you how amazing you are. And then, you know, you do a few things and they turn out to be good. I mean, at that time, I was not considering, hey, the whole Europe is in like hugely good economical situation. There is not even one company failing or going bankrupt anywhere around us. No, I was thinking like, oh my God, I'm just so great. I'm so good. Whatever I touch turns into gold. That was how I was thinking. I was not humble. Achieve one mini goal, next one, next one, next one. I didn't even stop to be grateful for what I have. And those were the things that got me down. And life was throwing, you know, signals my way. And I was failing little by little, but I didn't saw that as a failure because I still had that in my head. Like, oh my God, I'm so great. This is like a little setback. I wasn't recognizing that the pattern of what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, was completely wrong. And it was based on wrong values and wrong ways of doing things and so on. But, you know, like even failing quickly, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are doing it successfully. You need to fail the appropriate amount. You know, like what I said, you need to know how to benchmark. Let's say you want to fail quickly in sales and you prepare a script for cold calling and you call three people and they all three say no. And you say, oh, I failed quickly. Now let's move to something else. But maybe you just called the wrong three people. You still need to look at statistics and statistics. I don't know what they say, but let's guess and say that, I don't know, 5 out of 100 people will say yes. So you actually need to try at least 20 or 30 calls for that statistic. And then if you don't get at least one yes within the 20 or 30, then maybe it's time to rethink the strategy. But if you give up too quickly, that's not a good way of failing because then you will just fail, fail, fail. But you will never find the success because you're giving up too quickly. So it's not about, you know, you need to fail just the right amount.
Yeah. Well, what I mean by that is, let's say that, like I'm building a speaker career and, you know, building the Entrepreneur Speaker and Business Owner Academy called the Success Corps. That's what I'm building. I also have this show right here. If nobody listened to my show, I'd want to know why. This is what I love to do. I need to figure out why people are not listening. So this tactic didn't work. I have 0 downloads. Okay, time to try something else. And I'll keep trying things over and over and over until one starts to gain traction. Once I start to get a little bit of success, then I double down on that one successful thing. What I found out about myself is that I'll try multiple things at the same time, not long enough to see if it works. So what I do is I try one thing for a little bit. It doesn't work. Okay, on to the next tactic or strategy, whatever, to make the show work, to be an amazing speaker, whatever, to make the business work. I don't just crash the business. So, you know, in the three businesses that I've built, you know, it starts off a little good and then it goes south. You got to fix it. Then it goes, okay, now there's foundation. And you always forget like certain foundational strategies. You're like the epic foundation of every business is this one thing. And like, maybe you forget it. You're like, oh, I should probably put that in there. And then you find out, oh, my marketing sucks. Let me fix my marketing. Oh, now my exposure and my social medias and like all these different things just kind of suck. But you have the systems and strategies in place. If I find a system and strategy that's not getting me ROI or anything that I want to happen, then I can the strategy and find out what is working and then double down on those strategies. I don't pay attention to what's not working. I want to know what is working. So if I fail a bunch of times, like that didn't work, that didn't work, that didn't, oh, this one does, and now I'm going to double down on that.
Well, Sean, one thing that I've learned in all my failures is that, you know, like there are basic principles of you know, like the gravity, you can't defy gravity. There
right.
are also basic principles when it comes to building a business.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is where I really shine is core business development. And
mm-hmm.
I can do that with somebody who is just starting out, or I can do that with 8-9-figure business owner. Usually they all overlook a few things in the core business development stage. And the number one pillar of that is, you know, who's your target audience? And you really need to do the proper research. I say that you can start business in two different ways. You can either do a lot of homework, and you know, you need to know where to stop with that, because you actually need to go out there and do a few things to test your hypothesis before you can, you know, polish the process. So even if you do a lot of homework, that doesn't mean that there won't be any bumps along the road. Or you can just have an idea and you just go out there and wing it. Then you will have a lot of trial and error. So I prefer the doing a little bit of homework first. And the number one thing is know your audience. And then by know your audience, that means first, let's define it a little bit demographically, the values, the this and that, things that are important about your audience. But then you actually need to find a few people like that. You need to have a few conversations with them, and you need to figure out the struggles and the desires. You know, like why would I listen to your show? What struggle does it help me solve, and what desire does it bring to me? I mean, I love podcasts with interviews, just like your podcast is, because I can learn so much from those different stories. So obviously I'm your demographic. And then you
right.
can say, okay, let's create a product. And then you would say, okay, I'll talk to Micha. And Micha will tell you that, you know, I do love interviews. I don't necessarily love when they are, you know, an hour or 2 hours long. I don't know why, but even with TV shows, I don't necessarily have the focus to watch, you know, the 1 hour long ones. I much more prefer, you know, the short 20-30 minute version.
Mm-hmm.
So you would then get multiple information, and you would probably say, oh, Micha is not really my target audience. He wants it to be too quick. I want to do a bit more in-depth thing. So who's your target audience for that? When you do this basic business development, which can basically be done in about a weekend time frame, you create this lean business development plan, and then you start executing. I see much better results when you do it that way. I've helped hundreds of entrepreneurs, literally hundreds, over this last 5-6 years, scale from zero to 100-200K a month in less than 6 months. I mean, I honestly can take you from one
wow.
step to another, from 5 to 6, from 6 to 7, to 7 to 8, from 8 to 9 in under 6 months. Wherever you are, one step in under 6 months.
That's incredible.
And I've duplicated that so many times. I mean, I can do it blindfolded.
Is that for certain industries, or is it
service-based
businesses, or is it like anything?
No, I've done it with companies that are in manufacturing. I've done it with companies in retail, in services, online, offline, coaches, you know, like just I have one guy from Kenya, Africa. He's 20-something, 23, 24. He reached out to me a few months ago. He's a copywriter writing in English language. And in just a few months' time, he went from basically zero to, I think he's now at around 10K a month. He's been published in, I think, The Economist, Thrive magazine, and so on. He's
wow.
got new and new clients. A 20-something from Kenya, Africa. I always emphasize that, because, you know, we think like, oh, yeah, if you're writing in English and you're from US and UK, you can do it. But, you know, like somebody from Like, and you know how much adversity he had to overcome. Like, we are, even if we are not racist, we still, you know, look a little bit different at people who are coming from countries where maybe English is not their native language or something like
right.
that. We see, oh, will that guy be able to write the copy that I need? You know, like, we do that. We want it or not, we do that.
Sure.
And maybe subconsciously, maybe some people do.
Yeah. So you know, when you look at things, because there are same business principles. Business principles are always there. They're always the same. Yes, with manufacturing, there are just more processes going on in the company, and you have to look holistically of all the processes. But that's it. Business principles, same. Business development, same 10, 11 steps. Nothing changes, no matter what industry you are in. And I've been challenged quite a few times already with people coming to me like, oh, I have a business idea that you can't scale in no way possible. I can give you one example. Like this guy from Midwest. I think you call that Midwest in US. And he has this sword fighting school, you know, with those old sword fights like in. And he was one man band, and he said, how can you ever scale that? You know what? Franchising, focusing on teaching other people to teach, and then opening new schools, not even by himself, by others opening under his brand. He focused more on the brand development and teaching the teachers. And yeah, we were able to scale it. And unfortunately, again, in my business, you have to sign an NDA with every single freaking company you work with. So I can't tell too much about things.
Right.
You know. Yeah. I love those challenges, honestly, because you can scale basically everything.
We'll have to talk more because I'm looking to scale in 2019. You know, I've got my business foundations together. I've got a couple steps that I still need to do. I haven't adopted certain things that I know that need to be done. I'm like, it's too early still. That's not the logical next step, right? I mean, there's certain steps that you have to do, but I'm not quite there yet, you know. But we'll have to talk because I got some big ideas. But you know. I can't scale too hard because I'm still serving in the military. You know, I'm still active duty Air Force. So if I make too much money, then they kick me out. So I've had to like really make sure that I don't cross that threshold. However, I fully expect in the next 2 years that I mean, I'm going to retire in the next 2021. I'm out. I'm a civilian. So by then, you know, I'm going to need to super scale. You know what I mean? So
I understand.
Talk more.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, everything is scalable, but you need to be aware also of, you know, do you have the resources? And I'm not just talking about money, but also time is a resource.
Right.
You know, some people can leverage heavily on their networks, networks and so on when they have them. Some people who are maybe more introverted don't have that. And, you know, they can't scale as fast as somebody else. And so, yeah, there are limitations when it comes to resources. And then, of course, you just need to be resourceful. If you need money to scale, you don't have the money. Well, you know, like we need to find an investor, for example.
Right.
Or you will grow first and then start scaling, you know. So if you don't have the resources available to you right now, and I have no idea if you do or don't, so I'm not assuming anything. I'm just saying that in general, if the resources are not there, of course you first need to possibly just grow, and that's okay, and get those resources, or you can partner, you can joint venture, you can equity partner, you can, you know, get funding, you can get a loan and things like that. So there are multiple ways how you can get the resources that are needed.
Very cool. I love it. So for any, as we close the show, if anybody has any questions for him or myself, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. So as we start to close the show, I want resources and some different things that you offer. So if someone wants to scale, if someone wants to grow, if someone wants to get past failure, what kind of resources do you have? And then what other resources do you recommend to people?
Well, one of the resources that I created is 12 days business development course, fully free and fully delivered via my chatbot on my Facebook business page. So they can just go there, click on message. And then in the, you know, when you click on those three dots or lines in the bottom, it shows you the menu and you have the free resources and you can just enroll in the course. And it comes with a template for Lean business plan, and they can just follow the videos. It walks them step by step through developing that plan. And that's good for any stage because, like I said, even when I'm working with 7-8-figure entrepreneurs, we always start with the Lean business development plan. We go through that. Of course, they have a lot of answers already in place, but we always find a few things that are missing or maybe they're not aligned in a correct way between each other and things like that. And we always start there. So that would be a definite starting point. But then for entrepreneurs, I would say emotional intelligence. I know there's a book like EQ 2.0. I strongly recommend that one. And then mindfulness. Maybe you will laugh or maybe not, but I learned the most about mindfulness with that series of books, you know, for dummies, and it's Mindful Eating for Dummies. But if you apply those same strategies just to your life, oh my God, what a transformation. Just reading a few books and I love TED Talks. They give me a lot of inspiration, especially, you know, those stories of overcoming huge adversity. Because when I see those people on wheelchairs and all of that, and they are on the stage telling me that was the best thing that happened to them. And, you know, like all my problems seem so little and I just push forward. And then for me, one of the most empowering stories is the one about Colonel Sanders and his KFC story. I mean, 1,009 no's. And I can see that a bit chubby old guy with that white beard in that Toyota Corolla in this, what was it, in 60s or 70s, driving around the U.S., looking at cars, truck stops and so on. I mean, I can visualize him. How was he overcoming all of that? And to get 1,009 no's at that age and all of that, I mean, what strength you need to have in yourself to push yourself beyond that. I mean, that's the story that always like gets me going. Where, however, I want to, you know, just quit and leave everything. I always turn to that story, and it always inspires me to just push forward.
Perfect. You know, this was so. I have a TEDx talk. I did mine in December of 2017, and this was the scariest moment of my life. Like, it's fun to dream about being successful. It's fun to dream about $1 million lottery ticket until it actually happens. And then you go, now what? Like, now what are you going to do? Like, the hard part was getting accepted. Now you just got to perform, you know? And that was one of the hardest parts for me. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going to be millions of people are going to watch this. Like, oh my gosh, you know? And so my TEDx talk has been viewed over, you know, 12,000 times, whatever. And it was one of the best moments of my life. You know, some people are like, it was kind of boring. It was kind of, well, you know, it's TEDx Talks. Like, some of the talks are just boring.
I mean,
inspiration.
I mean, just go on a stage and try it yourself if you think that's boring. Yeah, like, I know.
Right?
I know the feeling. Like, every time when I need to go on a stage, the last 5 minutes, I mean, I'm constantly like, why am I even doing this? Like, why am I putting myself through this? I'm shaking. I'm nervous. I'm sweating. I'm, you know, like all of those things. I mean, I hate when they give you a microphone and they don't have, you know, that on-ear thing, and you need to hold the microphone, and it's shaking in your hand, and then you're pushing it onto your chest just so that it doesn't shake even more, and all of that. Then I say to myself, yeah, well, you want to break the taboo called failure. You just have to do it. Because, you know, I learned one thing. If I don't share my story, people don't share their stories. They don't open up first. You need to start. You need to start with everything, the good and the bad. And the more you dive into the emotions, the more you dive into the negative self-talk that was happening to you, the more people can connect on emotional level, then they open up. And I believe that the only way that we can break this taboo that's called failure is if we start openly talking about it.
Very cool. So as we start to close the show, as we actually close the show right now, give us a nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today.
Oh my God. Now this I was not prepared for. Usually they ask me what's the one advice, and I always say, stay humble, be grateful, and fail forward. But something that can be actionable, I would say just, you know, start training your mind in a way where you are not focused on the outcome, but you are focused on the process. Outcome will inevitably come. You just need to polish the process. Have that in mind. And you can achieve anything.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time today. This has been an amazing conversation. I learned a ton. You are an absolute inspiration, and I look forward to keep following you and all your success, and good luck to you.
Well, thank you. It was lovely being a guest on your show. And thank you for the opportunity to reach your audience, to talk about failure. I'm really overly passionate about this subject. And yeah, just thank you for giving me this opportunity to spread the word on failure.
Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, if anything resonated with you today, reach out to Miha Modlewski and you will be amazed at what this guy can do for your life. Go to www.fail.coach and go check out everything he has to offer. He will take you to that next level and help you break the taboo of failure. Subscribe, rate, and review Life Transformation Radio wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. I appreciate your time and energy today. And before we close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live the core value that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.